little better.
What's up, everybody? Mo Jack's boys coming at you here. A little midweek podcast. Are we feeling good?
We're feeling pretty good.
I think we're feeling real
good. Yeah.
Feeling real good. So we obviously had to do a little midweek podcast this week because just a little bit of news. And we have got basketball recruiting analysts. Really just basketball. It used to be beat writer this back in our day. But just I just think just extraordinaire W basketball.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Analyst extraordinaire Ethan Bach joining us tonight. What's going on, man? Yeah, man, of course. Very, very glad you jumped on with us. Just a little bit of background. He is he's a men's basketball coverage, I guess, for W Sports Now. But you also cover recruiting for the Portal Report. There's just a few guys that enter the portal each day, so he's just a little bit busy. But all jokes aside, though, I said this a long time ago. If I'm not mistaken, you got in 2 years ago. So you had the cool season with, you know, Eric Stevenson and that group. And then you got the debacle of the offseason. Yeah. And now you get to cover a new coach. So pretty busy for you.
Yeah, I was thinking about kind of this week. Is like, I think everybody just burnt out. And like, for the last 10 months. Pretty much ever since the Hugs debacle and I know the program as well, but just kind of transitioning into like a new era. I think everybody should be excited, and it's going to be interesting to see how DeRees has his staff set up and the roster and all that going forward.
Absolutely. So first things first, and I'm the worst at pronouncing, but it is Darren DeVries. Well, we just figured that out, and Ethan just confirmed it. But yeah. I mean, we'll get into a little bit here. Obviously, you know, Rem Baker's looking at guys that can coach. I don't think there's any, you know, right. It's not like looking at guys that aren't going to be good coaches. But we'll kind of go behind the scenes, and Ethan will kind of lead that a little bit. But first things first, tell us a little bit of what you found out about just his background. I mean, I'm not trying to take a shot at Eilert here, but we went from a guy who had like a year experience on the bench to a guy that had about 20 or 25. Yeah. So just we'll start there with his kind of background and take us through what you found out so far, Ethan.
Yes, like you said, it seems like DeRees has a lot more experience coaching just in general compared to Josh Eilert. It's not a knock on Eilert at all, but DeRees had playing career 90s. And transitioned into a coaching career, which spent 18 years at Creighton under Dana Oldman and Greg McDermott. So that's huge experience right there alone. He played a big part in developing a lot of those guys at Creighton, like Doug McDermott, especially when they transitioning into the Big East. And then DeRees got his shot at Drake as a head coach 2018, 6 years, never had a season without 20 wins. And, now, they didn't have any NCAA tournament wins, but the fact that he got Drake to the tournament 3 times showed consistency. It's a pretty impressive job. And just his style of taking efficient shots. Defense is kind of wishy-washy depending on which season you look at, but the offense is going to be a lot of efficiency on that side of the ball.
Well, that's funny because you said, you know, kind of who he was under was Altman and McDermott, and they played the other night, and that was maybe one of the best played basketball games of the tournament so far, just the back and forth and the offensive flow of it. So is that kind of what you expect, like, you know, the way basketball is kind of went, where there's a lot of three-pointer shot, kind of beeline-esque with the movement and the motion and stuff like that? That's pretty much the style that we're going to be getting into.
Yeah, I think when DeRees gets settled and has his guys he wants and finds the system that he wants. Because I think he might have to modify it a little bit because I worry about Big 12 physicality. Like, all Big 12 teams have a certain build. You almost need, like a NFL tight end playing in the front court.
Yeah.
I do worry about that, but he's a good enough coach that he can adjust that. But yeah, it's going to be a lot like efficient shots. They were in the one percentile of just efficient shots around in the whole country. And their transition game wasn't elite, but it was very good. So it's a lot. It's going to be a lot of just kind of a modern look on offense. It's going to be 3 points, layups, an occasional mid-range shot. It's not going to be standalone offense with 3 seconds left on the shot clock to take a 15-foot fadeaway every possession.
Flex cut in the post. That's the flex
screen. I love it.
Right there.
I love it.
Just looking at the whole coaching search, was it pretty much his job to lose? Because, you know, you see the hot boards come out, and it was pretty much down to what we understood was pretty much two. But do you think Wren wanted him all along, and then he just knocked the interview out of the park, or do you think it was a back and forth between he and when now it's Vanderbilt's coach?
Bingham.
Yeah,
Bingham. Bankton.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think long-term, DeRees has always been on Red Baker's watch list, at least. I went back, looked at a tweet from June that I had info about, and during that week search, which eventually led to interim head coach Josh Eiler, but somebody mentioned that they contacted a Missouri Valley head coach. And just back then, looking at it, Josh Schertz wasn't the mid-major darling he is now. So it really just left the Reeds, and I think he's been on Brent Baker's watch list for a while now. Now, I do think recently they went back and forth between him and Mark Byington, but I just think ultimately DeRees showed the most consistency. And just having Michigan be linked to him and even school like Iowa who has a coach, but if that were to open, that's it right in his backyard. So I think it was a no-brainer to go to DeRees here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously W puts out a little video, and they're going to pick and choose some cool little snippets, but man, I love it. A lot of energy. He gets after it. You see in the locker room, he's really getting guys fired up. And I don't know if anybody caught this, but did you see it was very, very Stewis.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where he said, let's out-rebound him, yeah. Let's out-hustle. And I was like, uh-oh. But you have wild coaching search, and you know we heard Dusty May for a long, long time, but it is wild how things kind of fall in place. And I heard Tony Caridi today say what he has heard is DeVries went in the interview, and it wasn't just that he was selling himself, and he was very prepared about how impressed he was by West Virginia. I mean, let's face it, we want someone like that that comes in and you know kind of puts us up in a little bit of a pedestal, but I think we're a great job. I mean, you look at the facilities, it's just wild that Louisville comes open, Michigan comes open, and then, you know, we were technically first, right? Am I right about that? Or no, maybe Louisville? Well, I forgot about Ohio State, yeah. But I mean, some big, big jobs are open, and I think we get our guy. So let's move on to some exciting things, not just the coaching, and unless Brent wants to jump in, he's our basketball guy. So, and that is, from all indications, it appears his son Tucker will join him. Is that your understanding, Ethan? Are you there? Did we lose Ethan?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh.
You guys cut out.
Oh, I'm sorry. So that's all right. So the last question was, it appears as though Tucker will join his father. Is that kind of an indication you're getting?
Yeah. This was pretty much a package deal wherever Darren DeRees ended up. Tucker's got 1 year eligibility, misses out on that COVID option cut. So he didn't get grandfathered in. So he's a traditional senior. He's got 1 year left. And it's a lot. His game is a lot like – I like to compare it to – Doug McDermott. Okay. Probably might be a lazy comparison just based off of the father-son duo, but his game's a lot like Doug McDermott. It's a lot of threes. I think Tucker DeRees has a lot more playmaking ability than McDermott had, but DeRees is going to have the ball in his hands a lot, and I think right away, short-term rebuilding for DeRees at WVU, this is perfect because you can identify Tucker as the go-to guy next year.
So I was just thinking about this today. Let's just say we don't, Darren DeVries is not coming here. Tucker just enters the portal. Is he legit top five, top 10 in the country if he just straight up entered the portal and he was looking to transfer anywhere? Do you think that highly of him?
Yeah, I think top five, top 10, depending on how the computers would rank him. But I mean, he's the back-to-back Missouri Valley Player of the Year, averaged 21 points as a junior, and he's averaged well over double figures his whole career at Drake. So, if he just entered the portal on his own, transferred away from Drake, he would definitely be a top 10 player available.
So now here's the big thing, like with the portal nowadays, who comes back and, you know, what it's going to be a completely different roster. Do you think any guys come back?
Does he want back?
Yeah, who does he want back? Or have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think a lot of these guys that, first of all, I think it's a miracle that West Virginia hasn't lost anybody to the portal at all so far. Like, Michigan, Louisville, they all had, and Oklahoma State, all these top programs that lost head coaches, all had multiple guys enter. Usually they're starters. And then here in West Virginia, you haven't had one entry at all as you're recording. So it's pretty impressive. I don't know if a lot of guys are waiting it out, waiting for the hire or what, but I think a lot of the guys, minus Creasa, Farrakhan, I think a lot of the guys are in the same boat of they could stick around here, fight for minutes, just develop at a Power 5 school, or they could transfer down closer to home, play 30 minutes a game, start at a mid-major. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just how college basketball is now, and that's an advantage of having the transfer pool. So I think a lot of those guys are weighing their options and trying to figure out what they want to do.
I mean, I imagine there's several. You named two there. I mean, Creasa, Noah, and maybe a couple others that I would think that DeVries would be, you know, happy to have return. You know, I'm not saying they immediately start, although those two would certainly make a case for it. But, I mean, is that kind of what you're thinking? Is there several guys on there that maybe they don't fit his style necessarily, but, you know, you'd have a couple guys that have proven themselves somewhat in college basketball anyways.
Yeah, it helps a lot. Player by player, just trying to think how they fit in the system. A lot of these guys, I feel like, could. Like, Kerr, obviously, with his perimeter shooting and playmaking. Noah and Kobe, it's a lot of cuts, a lot of backdoor stuff. So Noah and Kobe could also thrive in that as well. And then if Seth Wilson kind of was able to keep developing, just kind of fix, I think, his confidence issues this past year, I think a system under DeVries would actually benefit him. So a lot of these guys feel like could thrive in his offense. It's just, does he think they're a fit for his system?
Right. Well, so, go ahead, Brent.
I definitely think, like, his system, and, like, I think Rim just knocked it out of the park, because I was looking before he got to Drake, 7 out of 9 years before he got there, mm-hmm. they had a losing record.
Yeah.
And one of those was, you know, 500 too. And then the other one was just like one or two games above 500. So as far as, you know, me, my natural mind's like, oh God, it's a complete rebuild. Well, he had a complete rebuild there and he won 20 mm-hmm. some games his first year and did that every year.
Well, so that was pre,
I think we're in pretty good hands. Yeah.
Or right at, yeah. I guess it'd be right at the portal, yeah. But, well, in talking about the roster, let's ask Ethan his opinion on, I mean, obviously NIL. I think it's no secret that WU is in very good shape NIL-wise. I always hear that basketball, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Ethan, usually we have in the last couple of years a couple million to play with. But the question, the first question I'll start with is, his son Tucker, at any other school, I mean, he'd render probably a couple hundred thousand.
Yeah.
But maybe does daddy say, listen, son, I need this money to build a program. or I mean, I don't know. How do you see that working? And then after that, just kind of follow up on the rest of NIL.
Yeah, I think West Virginia's NIL is going to be interesting going forward because obviously a lot of the support with Hugs, and it's to me, it's I don't know exactly if it's going to stay that way. Like it's just kind of hard to. NIL is such a new concept, and the transparency on it is so unclear. You don't really understand what's going on unless you're literally a player or working in the NIL department. So I think it's going to be interesting to see if their budget or their resources are just as good as it was with Hugs. It's hard to say it will be just based off of how Hugs was pictured here and how great of a coach he was. But it's definitely, I feel like you're right on the head about Tucker Dreeves. I think his NIL would be six figures easily, getting probably $250,000, give or take. But yeah, does he almost take a player's cut like he can do in the pros, like and save some of that to go get other guys and get the final pieces? And that could almost go with any of the guys that you can get from Drake. So it's going to be interesting, and I'm really curious just how the men's basketball NIL the trend that goes the next couple of years.
Well, yeah, that's the interesting part. I'm hoping all this, like, statements and interviews and all this stuff from, like, I mean, King Kendrick, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. He just dropped a bomb the day after we announced Iowa wasn't coming back. And there's been back and forth with Hugs and everything like that. So I'm hoping, like...
Hopefully Uncle Ken's going to put the money where his mouth is.
I would like to see Hugs just make a statement saying, congratulations, I hope you lead the program. You know what I mean? But he won't do it.
I don't know. Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably
not. I would love to have seen that. You know what I mean? Because Ethan, this is just Brent talking. I mean, he's handled this so wrong the entire year by coming to games and doing all those things. It's like go out on a high note. Like, you were never going to be the coach again. Mm. Come back and say, congratulations, lead the program further than I could. You know what I mean? That would go a long way to the way he's handled it.
And just so you know, Ethan, this is coming from a guy, Brent, who – I mean, literally loved Hugs as much as anyone.
Oh, my gosh,
I mean,
yeah.
He was on our podcast, and I mean, yes, but – and I don't know.
After games, I have a 12-year-old. He would, like, wait for Hugs' interviews to get over with at home games just so he could get a picture with him. You know what I mean?
Like, all the time.
Yeah, so it was just one of those things where I'm ready for a new era. I think everybody is.
Yeah.
It's time to put it in the past. After it's been a long year and –
So let me ask you this, Ethan, before we let you go. What are you hearing, or are you hearing anything on – so obviously we expect Tucker. There's been two other guys, I think, at least from Drake into the portal. And then, you know, there's always speculation about Tucker's – I can't remember. You probably know. He's got a couple guys he played like youth or AAU with that are studs, and I think in Iowa. So what are you hearing about all those type, you know, maybe possible roster spots?
Yeah, I think there's been four Drake guys entering the portal today, not including Tucker. I think any of those guys enter the portal, it's a very good possibility they end up in West Virginia. So, I mean, some of those guys could still just test the waters, see what other programs are interested, because at least the top three scores, including Tucker, that will or have entered. Like, those guys are Power 5 players, so they're going to get Power 5 interest. It's just a matter of, do they just follow Darren Dreeves with them, or do they look elsewhere? Because some of, like, Anton Wright has 1 year of eligibility. But then Overton, he's a freshman, so he has 3 years.
Mm.
So that's a huge difference when you can get a freshman transfer 3 years of eligibility at an average 11 points compared to a role player from Drake, which nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But it's going to be interesting to see what his Drake guys do. I think it's also a matter of, does he think they can make that jump to the Big 12? Because it is Big 12 basketball. I think Missouri Valley is one of the most underrated conferences in the country. It's definitely one of the best fit major conferences. So I think a lot of these guys can make that jump. It's just a matter of what does Darren Dreese think about them making that jump.
Right. And then were you privy to the whoever they were talking about, Tucker's AU guys? There's been so much information on Twitter, and I just get more and more excited. But I thought they said at Iowa. Maybe it was from Iowa, though.
Yeah, I think it was a Belmont transfer.
Okay.
That's the thing with the portal, I think fans kind of forget about is it's about coaching connections for sure, but at least for West Virginia especially, it was a lot of player connections. Obviously, the staff here did their job locking those down and also having that connection with the player. But Eric Stevenson and Evan Matthews knew each other back in the state of Washington. And last year, Jose Brez and Kirk Creasa played a big part in knowing the other transfers, like Jesse Edwards, Raekwon Battle, Coca Cook, Quinn Szczynski. So it's a lot of player connections as well. And I think sometimes fans don't kind of look into that when doing the transfer portal. They almost view it as like high school recruiting. But there is that concept as well.
You mentioned staff, and I almost let you escape without that. Do you see him? I mean, I assume he's bringing in totally new staff. Nobody's being retained. I mean, Jay Koontz was our guy. He's been on the pod a few times. You know, I always thought he did an unbelievable job with the portal. But I get you want your own guys. So he put a statement out. Do you just see him, DeVries, bringing all new guys in? And to that point, have you heard anything of who he might bring in?
I haven't heard anything. We're now 24 hours into DeVries.
It feels like a week.
I know.
Not in the last 24 hours. I looked at the staff. It's a smaller staff. Those guys do have experience. One was an associate coach at IU under Archie Miller. Another guy was under Andy Enfield at Florida Gulf Coast. So those guys have experience. But at the same time, it's a smaller staff. I'm curious because DeVries isn't going to bring all those guys. Like his top assistant now is interim head coach Drake until they figure out what they're doing. So I think filling out the final spots on his staff is going to get interesting because he could have options like bringing a guy or two back from Eilers staff or just any of his coaching connections outside of Drake that he has could also fill in his final spots. So I think you're still going to see I don't think the entire staff can go from assistants to support staff will be gone from this past staff. I think I could see a couple staying, Dreese letting them stay. And I don't think the entire staff's gone, but it will be the vast majority of it.
Well, it's certainly interesting, certainly exciting. When's the last time that W football opened in the spring and we haven't mentioned it? No one's even talking about
today,
it. Yeah, no one's talking about it. Yeah, it was yesterday. So like we said in the beginning, Ethan's been quite busy, but we do appreciate you coming on. Brent said he got another question.
One more. How many's Caitlin Clark put up on us?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think?
Over/under on 30.
Yeah.
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 Well, listen, Caridi said it best, I think, today. He said, I mean, you have nothing to lose.
No.
You come in here, I mean, you pull one of the biggest upsets ever.
Yeah.
And
on
you don't
her last ever home game.
Yeah, and you don't, you're like, whatever. And you know what else? They're going to show the whole thing on SportsCenter because it's her last ever home game. So, I mean, Kellogg is
– I love him.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
I know you don't really cover the women, but Ren knocked that out of the park.
He's done a hell of a job.
Yeah.
I think everybody realizes that, but just year one, it's kind of similar looking at the men's right now with Dreese, just Kellogg just bringing in a couple of his girls and then filling it out with portal and whatever was left from Don's team. So he's done a great job. I'm curious what the score is going to be.
Yeah. The line set at 14 and a half.
Speaking of Kellogg, I heard this again today. So Kellogg's, obviously, his daughter was first team All-State at Morgantown. If the Vries, if their kids go to Morgantown, apparently his daughter's a stud freshman.
Oh, really?
Basketball player. Yeah.
Well, Kellogg was at the state tournament, too. Yeah. His son was a freshman at Morgantown as well. Yeah. He dressed varsity.
So. Yeah. So, anyways, but.
Still a dream team.
Yeah. Just, yeah. No kidding. All right, man. Well, Ethan, we really appreciate you jumping on with us. And as this kind of goes along, we may jump and pick your brain again if that's cool.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. All right, man. Well, try to get some rest. I saw a couple guys said, you know, they tried to take a break, and as soon as they took a break, covering W is when the news dropped. So the timing of that was you know, right during a blowout JMU.
Yeah, that's funny.
So, all right, Ethan, we'll let you go. We appreciate it, man. Thanks again.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Have a good night.
You too. Thanks. All right, well, that was Ethan Bach. Again, he covers the Mountaineers. I stumbled in the beginning there trying to introduce him. I don't know why, but...
You got a little nervous. It's been a while.
No, I didn't get nervous, guests, but you know? I really can't think of you. We used to have... We called everyone beat writers. That's what I... You know, our coverage... You know, our buddy Cam wrote for, like, Blue Gold News, but I was just kind of reading his... Ethan's Instagram there, and it's like, you know, he's... I've already forgot again. I keep wanting to say, like, he covers the Mountaineers for W Sports. But he's a recruiting analyst for the portal, like the portalreport.com. Think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about the hundreds of freaking kids.
That, yeah.
Yeah. So
that is amazing what he brought up, that we, even after they announced Eilert wasn't leaving, we didn't lose anybody to the portal yet.
It is crazy. And at first I was like, well, in my head, I was thinking, well, they're just, you know, waiting it out. But he made a good point. Michigan and Louisville kids didn't. My God, they entered the name immediately.
They've been in the facility, too, I mean, on social media, especially Josiah Harris and John Kobe.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm DeVries, I mean, obviously, like Ethan said, we're 24 hours into it. It literally seems like a week. But I think, you know, you're bringing your son, and you might bring the other guy. Well, there's two of them, but one averaged 11 as a freshman. That'd be a big pickup. Yeah. And maybe the third guy. But I think Kerr can really help you. I mean, you know, he's shown that.
One of the ones, like, I think he's a glue guy that will just know his role. I think you got to keep Kobe Johnson.
And I was going to say, and Kobe.
I mean, you got to keep Kobe Johnson.
I think you know, Noah Faircon has tons of ability, but, man, he was, like, so up and down. I don't know how he would fit in that system.
Yeah.
It really does feel like, I didn't mention this to Ethan. I don't even think he was born then, but Beeline.
Yeah, Beeline-esque.
I mean, the offense is very similar. Now, I will say I saw a red or her or something. Rebounding's big, so that's not a Beeline thing, but bringing his son.
He does rebound?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Big time. I mean, I was listening to three guys today, and Brad Howell was going over his numbers. Some of those numbers are crazy. And, you know, you want to get excited sometimes, but then it's like, well, I mean, you have a system, yes, but first of all, it's a Big 12. It's totally different, you know. It's like when Hugs came in, he ended up having to use the 1-3-1 type stuff. So you don't know necessarily how it's all going to pan out, but I would definitely think you could keep a couple guys from a current roster, add a couple guys from Drake, and then maybe you add a couple studs. Who knows? I keep hearing, I mean, Tucker's obviously got some ties. And Ethan's right. I mean, it seems like that's more than just...
They want to play with players instead of coaches.
Well, I mean, it's cool. Like, you know, like, hey, we should just go there and play. And, you know, no offense to Drake, but when they get to W and see the facilities, they're going to be like, holy cow. So, anywho.
And like I said, when I look up what Drake had done before he got there, and then 20 wins every year since he's been there.
Right.
Speaks for itself.
He's been unbelievable, and I really liked, you know, the clips that they showed of his demeanor, and that could just be here and there, but he was fired up. Like, he gets fired up, and, you know, we just went through a season with, you had Neil Brown, and then you had Josh Eilert, who never said anything.
Not that style.
But that's about it. I mean, I did, like we said to Ethan there, the spring practice started, I guess it was technically yesterday, wasn't it, or Saturday? I don't remember now.
But we can talk about other coaching news. I mean, when's UK going to fire Cal? How much talent can you have to win one national championship there? And you and I, we were sitting there watching, what were we watching? Just basketball in general?
I don't remember what game, but yeah.
And I literally looked. He and Tubby Smith's winning percentage were very similar. Yeah. They each had one national championship, and they ran Tubby out of town.
And you look at
so what's the difference? You know what I mean?
Well, like, the only difference is that the Cows had much better recruiting classes.
Yeah, like Tubby didn't recruit very well. I mean, he had good players, but it is absolutely crazy that he gets a pass and he has a lifetime contract, and he really hasn't. I mean, they haven't been to a Final Four since that team that killed us in the Sweet 16.
Yeah,
that's 2016.
Yeah, and you think
was the last time they've been to the Final Four?
And you think Kentucky? And this should go without saying, but they only their end game is always a national championship. It's not even a Final Four; it's a national championship.
You know what makes me feel old? Starting to see players like Shepherd.
I remember Jeff Shepherd watching as a kid. Dad. I loved Jeff Shepherd, Reed Shepherd's dad.
He was with Tony Delk and Scott Padgett, that whole crew.
I remember 15, and that's Tubby won a national championship with his dad.
Yeah.
But Cal could not win a national championship with Carl Anthony Towns and Devin Booker on the same team. Now think about that. Think what these guys do in the pros right now.
I forgot Devin Booker was there. Yeah, that's insane.
It's insane.
Those two guys. Well,
there was more on that team than just those two.
Yeah. Well, we talked about the team WU beat. Six guys were in the pros. And I mean, not just like fringe guys, like several of them were all pros.
See, and that's the thing. And like people said, oh, I don't know if you can do it with freshmen. The one year he won it, he had Anthony Davis and he had those Harris twins, which were upperclassmen.
Yeah.
And then Gilchrist or whatever that is in the pros. Mm-hmm. And it's like, when does he get, does he get the axe? I mean, they're not going to do it. I figured they would already done it.
Yeah, I would think by this point. I mean, in your Kentucky, like,
You fire him, you go get Jay Wright.
Well, I was going to say, you're either getting someone like Jay Wright or you're going somebody in the pros in your Kentucky.
Yeah,
so that could be part of it is they don't think who's
Jay
out
Wright
there.
Come, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I think when I walked over here, it looks like Marshall finally is getting rid of D'Antoni. Let me tell you, and it's no secret that we don't really like Marshall, but I just cannot stand him.
He is the reason why we don't play in the basketball game anymore. Now it's their time to shine, and they beat us a couple times with B-line.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? It's not like it's football where they never stood a chance. I mean, they've beaten us in basketball. He is the reason. Like, after that
– can't stand him.
NCAA, they're scared to play us. Now, buddy, you were good for one reason and one reason only, John Elmore.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. You rode him.
And what happened when you saw us in the second round? Come on.
I mean, we were about almost 50 at one point, I feel like. And then,
wearing that T-shirt with the state. I mean, and he just on and on and on about we're the state's team. I mean, come on. You can be Marshall. You don't have to say you're the state's team. But I've never liked him. I think they'll be much better off without him.
Yeah. And their new AD, that was not their hire.
Yeah,
it wasn't his hire. He was probably like, hey, I did a good job with the women's hire, even though they got destroyed.
Well,
they still won a conference championship in her first year.
Yep.
He's like, I want to hire somebody myself.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so you got all these kind of dominoes, but as we mentioned, that's what I was kind of saying to Ethan was you got Louisville, which I know they've been terrible.
Have they hired anybody yet?
No.
Because they thought they were getting Dusty May.
They really did. That came out.
He screwed them, right?
Like, apparently they have deleted things and everything from message boards, like their official account or something. Where they were basically saying the May thing was a done deal, and they went back and retracted. So I think he maybe went and looked and said, this is a debacle here.
And they have everything. I mean, as far as budget-wise, they're always top of the line.
Oh, yeah, and always will be. And then reportedly, I mean, see, you had supposedly Chris Mack was going to Vandy. Yeah. What happened there?
See, and that's the thing. I know everybody says it wasn't his fault. Like whatever happened at Louisville, but there has to be some baggage. There has to be something for
him. He'd already been hired,
And that's like, I know people, I'll be shocked if folks get hired, wouldn't you? 70 some years
old. He's not going to get hired this year. I wouldn't be so shocked if he would accept a smaller job maybe, but I don't know. Him and Calipari need to just ride off into the, well, like you said, he needs to, it's not going to happen, but he does need to come out and
he needs to, man.
Put a statement out or say, you've got all my support. Because if he's truly about the state and the school.
The university and not himself, he would do it.
Because we need his NIL ties,
He messed it up. Like, if he doesn't do those things, he's still the coach right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hell, we may still be playing. Speaking of that, I know, like, there hasn't been that many upsets other than UK. that Sweet 16 is absolutely loaded.
Well, there's only one double-digit who just won. He's the hottest team in America, basically. Maybe other than
I mean, UConn. All the number one teams look like freaking wagons right now. I mean, Purdue, everybody, they all. And you, but here's the thing. I think everybody might be playing for second place. I don't know if anybody can beat UConn.
I mean, they're playing, but you never know about it. About you
just have to have
upsets.
A down night.
Yeah. But that's who I picked. We never did do – you're doing a mid-league. I picked UConn.
Houston. I picked them to beat them in the national championship.
I think UConn, Houston, Purdue, and then I think there's a fairly big drop-off after that. But all my Final Fours are still there. I mean,
Creighton. I don't know. I had to watch Purdue yesterday.
I was
at that dance competition, and YouTube TV has saved my life.
Oh, it's the best thing ever. It really
just
is.
Just sitting there watching that throughout the whole thing. But they look really tough. Especially when they're making their shots and they don't miss very often.
If it's kind of eerily similar to, you know, Virginia gets beat by a 16 seed, then they roll through the tournament. This is kind of what Purdue's looking like.
Speaking of them, how bad were they in the first round?
They shouldn't have made the tournament.
No, they should not have. St. John's got screwed. Hell, Pitt even got screwed, which I don't care about.
Yeah.
They didn't even, who was it? Was it Villanova, Pitt, and somebody else didn't even accept the NIT invite?
No.
They were so pissed off about it. I think it was St. John's.
Yeah, but I thought it was a four team too. I can't remember.
Yeah, we got screwed over. But there was a lot of bid stealing going on. But
well, you know what? See, it used to be those are totally two separate things. I mean, obviously NCAA tournament. Well, in our lifetime, I guess originally NIT was the biggest. But now I didn't even realize until the teams say we're not doing it is the NCAA also controls NIT now. Do you know that?
No.
Yeah, it's all kind of one thing. So. You almost have to say screw you, or you're accepting the fact that you didn't make the tournament. But
well, here's as far as the Sweet 16 goes. Like Clemson's coach came out and said, basically the Big 12 is inflating their numbers. They're playing really bad teams. They're getting higher net ratings, and I mean, we only got two teams left. ACC has UNC, Duke, North Carolina State, or no, NC State, and Clemson left.
Yeah,
the Big East is undefeated. They haven't even lost a game yet.
I don't know. Every year you can do this sort of analysis. I still think it's matchups. I mean, it just is. And then you have the upsets. I mean, who would have thought Auburn, the SEC is not great, but who would have thought, who would have had them getting beat? Yep. Except for Beckham, who obviously picked
Beckham, Yale. Yeah, Beckham had Yale in his Final Four.
Yale.
Because when we were filling it out, I told him, Randon would say, all right, Yale or Auburn? And he would literally yell, like not – like, yeah, because he thought we were telling him to yell. So he picked them all the way to Final Four, picked them losing.
Well, it's certainly interesting, exciting time. Is it?
Oh,
I'm still I'm first or second.
I was first, third, fourth.
You have been up there.
Wes Browning was in first all by himself.
He dropped down. I think it's me. Maybe somebody else dropped. I'm up there. Bubba's up there. But now it's like, that's the thing with the first two rounds. You had a few upsets here and there, but almost all now.
I really thought Oregon was going to pull that out the other night.
That was a great game.
It was.
Kind of shot themselves.
Did you see that end of that game? Or did you fall asleep when they threw it to the big guy?
Yeah.
Their coach, they all were like, what are you doing?
They purposely leave him open. I was trying to text to explain that. And I'm like, no, I'm sure you guys saw. But, it literally left him open.
And then they go tight.
Yeah, so that was – there's been some really good games.
That was one upset because they've been kind of hot. But
yeah,
that was one episode that I thought would happen.
Well, Oregon, that's the thing with not really watching. And then the first game I watched him, and I was like, my God, this team's loaded. Well, they've been hurt all year.
Yeah.
Big guy got hurt and all that stuff. So
that dude can coach too. I think they said he's won that next year for the bracket. If Dana Altman and Oregon's in it, he does not lose in the first round. It's something like 10 straight. And freaking Mark Few, he makes it to the Sweet 16 every year. You can go ahead and pencil that in. I think he might be like 8 straight Sweet 16 appearances.
Is it really?
Yeah, wow. Something crazy like that. So even in a year where they're supposedly down,
they go
to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, that's true.
Dude can coach.
But again, you look at matchups. Like, I didn't think Kentucky was really that good, you know, so Gonzaga gets them. I mean, you think of some of these matchups – Oakland was kind of the darling there for the – I know it was only one round, but they almost pulled out.
No, Gonzaga beat Kansas.
That's what I meant. Kansas, who was hurt. Yeah. But Oakland was kind of became the darling with the with the two guys. And then if they had played anyone other than NC State, I don't mean like a top seed, but NC State's like the hottest team in America.
Yeah.
And they almost beat him. Should have beat him, probably.
Dude, I love watching.
I had NC State. I reminded myself, but I had NC State going a few rounds. I was like, I scaled it back.
Brandon does. Yeah. I think Brandon might have him almost as Elite Eight.
I got him the Sweet 16, but I don't remember whoever. Who do they play? Because it's literally all the top seeds now.
Other
right?
than them, yeah. There was a couple. There's a Clemson is a six seed.
Other than
NC State. Baylor. But you got to think. Those years with Beeline, we were a 6 or 7 when we made our runs.
Yeah, that's true.
Those were the days. I saw Darty W on Instagram earlier post the Baylor West Virginia where Geno went off for.
Yeah.
And then you had Stedman and Tavon.
Those were probably my favorite years of W basketball. Those last 2 years of Beeline.
Yeah, first couple of year Hugs.
Then we win the NIT, which was still a fun run. And then that first year of Hugs, we lost to Xavier in the Sweet 16 in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next year we got upset. And then this is my basketball brain. Dayton beat us in the first round with Ruoff, and then that senior year. Yeah. Then the next year was Final Four.
Yeah.
And then after that,
Well, Beeline years were so fun because they were so unexpected.
Yeah.
And then you get back and you kind of look at it. We were just such a hard team to prepare for with a day's notice or something back there with his teams.
Well, and that was just – I remember when, like, they tried to do, like, a coming home thing for Brett Nelson, right? We beat him up at Civic Center.
Yeah.
That's when I was like, okay. Yeah. All right, you know what I mean? Florida, it's a bunch of freshmen. Yeah, Florida.
Yep. Yeah, there were several teams. I mean, we had Oklahoma beat with Blake
Griffin.
Who's Blake Nelson? I don't even know who that is.
Blake Griffin. Brent Nelson.
I did combine. I did a Brent right there.
Yeah. I haven't even taken my medicine. Where I'm not working this week.
Oh, Jesus. I think you're supposed to always take it, Brent. I could be wrong about that. But I'm not a doctor. I mean, I do have a doctorate, but all right, well.
We're about to watch these women.
Do we have any shot tonight against Caitlin Clark?
if she rolls her ankle in the first quarter.
So I will say this, and I don't mean this in a negative way whatsoever, but I will ask this, I guess. But when is the last time we actually sat down? This will be the second time I've sat down and watched the
women's. Yeah, we watched it the other day.
Yeah. I mean, it's
– They're fun to watch.
When they press, they're fun, yeah.
Yeah.
When they don't – and I assume they're going to have to press.
They're going to have to, like – I don't know. We'll see.
Well, I think the key is if they do press, you got to get under her skin because she's been a little –
She wasn't like that last year.
Well, I mean, obviously a lot of pressure.
I watched a lot, but she was not like the way she is right now last year. Now, she did get elbowed in the face.
Could be moody right now.
No. Oh, God. Asbury, what do you think? Cool. Well,
Asbury's not here.
Again.
As always.
His poor daughter gets a day off, and he makes her go to lessons.
Yeah.
He says, it was her idea. Yeah, sure.
That's what he does. Well,
she did. Congratulations to Bailey. She hit her first high school home run.
And that was a good one, too.
But then Asbury pulls everybody that's political, pulls a Howard Dean in the video. The political guy that was the Democratic nominee. Was that 2000? He was going
I think so, yeah.
He did the...
And then we missed the ball.
Yeah, he didn't even film. That's what it sounds like.
Asbury, you film every at bat, and she hits on run. You can't even see the ball.
She hits it, and then you were... I swear to God.
It's Howard Dean, baby. Oh, all right, boys and girls. It is a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a DeVries kind of day, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not cold outside, but it is DeVriesing out there. Peace out. Let's go, Mountaineers.
That was actually pretty good.
I'm not joking. I died laughing. I couldn't even. It was literally the Howard Dean.
That was the first thing I noticed, too. I watched that. I was like, what? It was